All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. From every kindred, every tribe, from this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
Amen. That's good singing this morning. If you brought a Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews, if you will. And we'll start at verse 1, chapter 1, after we pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the revealed Word of God. This is the only way we know anything truth about you, is to hear it from your Word. You said your Word is true. We believe that. Thank you for those who are preaching this morning around the world, if they're preaching the truth and winning people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all who are doing that, and be with them and give them a wondrous help as they preach. As I preach, please help me and correct me in my mind. If I go to say something wrong, please stop me. If I can't think of anything, please put it in my mind. And for I depend entirely on you. We thank you that if there's anybody here, as all our folks will do when they pray and then when they sing, then what they sing is all about you, is all about being saved, accepting Christ as personal Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, please listen carefully and do that, because it might not be just me who's talking to you. You may be hearing silently from the Lord Jesus Christ himself saying, please come unto me. Time is short. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for having us a place, two whole services. Thank you for the people that go out of their way to be here. And thank you that we can reach people over the webcam who can't be here and depend on us for their church services. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. So we find the whole book of Hebrews is a little unusual. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. The other books of the Bible, they'll tell you who wrote it. Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we can tell you who wrote it. But nobody knows who wrote Hebrews. Scholars are divided on the issue. It has Pauline tendencies. In other words, it reads like Paul wrote it. It uses the same doctrines that he wrote. And it's right in the middle of everything else he wrote. Chances are great that Paul wrote Hebrews. But it doesn't matter, because all of the Bible was written by God. It was written by inspiration. Inspiration means that God used certain people, used their language, used their experiences, and used them in a way to reveal to us his word, what he would have us know. So the Bible is actually written by the Holy Spirit of God. And make no bones about that. This has been a war between the liberals and the fundamentalists, as I am, for the last 100 years. And I just don't understand how a man with a brain in his head can accuse God of lying. And when the Bible says something, it means something. It means what it says and says what it means. And if you can't read it and see that as being very evident, there's something wrong with your mind. And when you stand and try to call the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator, a liar, I don't want to even stand next to you at judgment, because I don't want to be in the way of the lightning. You're in big trouble. How does a man reach a point where he thinks he's enabled to argue with the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, how do you get that stupid? I'm not supposed to use that word. Less than intellectual, you'd prefer that, Miss Greenway. Okay. Sheesh. Hebrews chapter 1, God, first word. God, who at sundry times, meaning different times, and in diverse manners, meaning different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Well, what does that mean? That means that God revealed His word, what He wanted us to know, through the prophets. Had He sat beside you today, this is what He would have told you. It wouldn't change at all. This is the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ says. Now, if you want to argue with Him, have at it. Help yourself. See? But you're going to be in big, big trouble one day if you do that. He meant what He said. He said what He meant. Some of it is not very pleasant. Much of it is not very happy news. But the good news is He, in His supreme intellect, has made a way for sinful man to have his sins paid for if he'll only come to Christ. And He did this by giving messages to the prophets. Now, He spoke to the prophets. You can go back and read Genesis. That's the beginning of it all, right? And you keep reading and you'll see that God said, I put words in Moses' mouth. What does that mean? Told Moses what to say, did He not? Absolutely. He did all the prophets that He used. You could tell a false prophet because his prophecies didn't come true. We got 500 million people in the world today who claim to have a supreme prophet who never prophesied anything. That's kind of strange, isn't it? And yet we find the prophecies in Scripture, there are over 1,000. Kings that would be, lands that would be, countries that would be conquered, wars that would be held, things that would happen thousands of years ahead of time. And so far, over 5 of them have come true on the day, on the date, on the man. Every one of them have come true. The other 5 true are working on now. And most of them will come true after the rapture of the church. So the prophecies that have come true, 500 more will come true. And when they keep coming true, why is it people keep wanting to argue with the Bible? I mean, several of you people like to go fishing down here at the beach, and you got a favorite fishing hole too to catch the fish inland. And if you find a stump out here in the country at a little lake, and every time you go, you catch a 5-pound bass, and this happens 500 times in a row, I would almost bet tomorrow morning when you go fishing, you'll go stand on that stump. It has proven to be the place. Same thing here. No lies, no errors, no difficulties, no clock. Goodness. Could you hold this up while I preach, honey? Are you standing up? Give that to that lady where I can look over and see her and see the time. Thank you. All right. So when something has come true that many times without error in a few thousand years, I would think a common sense man would have sense enough to believe the rest of it. I mean, it's just common sense, is it not? But people don't want to use common sense anymore, as you can tell, by living down here. If you think people use common sense or pay attention to the law, drive on 17 for 15 minutes. Okay? Verse 2, I will stay on 1. God spoke through these men, these prophets. You say, well, how sometimes, you know, the guy in the jungle or the guy in the Orient, he's not hearing the scriptures. How is he going to come to Christ? You don't think God can speak to him? He'll speak to him through missionaries. He'll speak to you through visions at night. He'll speak to you through dreams. He can speak to you 1,000 different ways. Have you ever heard Him speak to you and never heard a voice? It's called that little voice within. You've heard it, especially when you're getting ready to do something wrong and you're a child of God. He will get your attention, won't He? has me. I'm sure he has you. And when something's right all the time, go with it. Go with it, all right? Now, he's in these last days, and we're talking about the last days. The last days started when Jesus was here. In these last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. 2,000 years later, we want to argue and pay professors in our universities to tell us that evolution made the world, that we came from a green pea soup in the sky, that we did everything except be made by God. What's the Bible say? He spoke all this into existence. I loved it when they sent up the first spaceship. I was glad they did that. That's quite an accomplishment. But please don't put a headline in your paper, "Man has now conquered outer space." You hadn't even seen it all, let alone conquered it. At night this summer, and down here is beautiful in the summer, and come on out here on a nice spring or summer night and look up at the sky. Get away from the city lights. Just get out here and look up at those stars. And you can't count them. See? Each one averages 32 trillion miles of distance between each other. And sometimes they look like they're going to run into each other, don't they? Years ago, two guys got out in the yard and tried to count the stars. And one said, "Well, I see 48. How many did you get?" He said, "About the same." Then somebody invented the little telescope, you know. And they said, "Oh, my goodness. There's hundreds of stars." Then somebody came along with the big mirrors, you know, and said, "Boy, I got bad news. There's millions and billions of stars." Mr. Hubble comes along and said, "No, there's millions and billions of stars in our galaxy. I got news for you. There are millions upon millions of galaxies." Next time you hear "How great thou art," dwell on it just a little bit. With a word, his spoken word, he put all of that into existence. What a God. Most people have a God. Someone wrote a book, good preacher did years ago, called "Your God's Too Small." Most people have a God on the street out there who's 3 inches taller than John Wayne. Right? And has a few more brains than the average college graduate. That's their God. No. Somebody asked me, show you how some dumb people do come to our meetings. One of them said, "Preacher, I believe you are so smart. I believe that you're smart enough to write a book." And I said, "Well, thank you, and you're correct. What I know, I could write a book. What I don't know would fill about 10,000 libraries." When you're talking about God's knowledge, you're talking about infinite intelligence. Unending intelligence. He knows all about things we don't even know exist. I mean, the God we worship is the God. The Bible says there's one Lord. And when your Bible has capital L, and these days it won't be all capitals across, it'll be capital L-O-R-D. We call them small capitals. It's talking about Yahweh. It's talking about the Lord God Almighty. And when the Bible says there is one Lord, right? One mediator between God and man. We have to have a mediator. We can't even talk to God. Why? We're stupid. That's why. Why would he want to hear our babbling? Little as we know. Most of you, as I do, till I threw them away, had accredited teachers signed their name to reports that I wasn't very bright. Called report cards. You had a few yourself, didn't you? Okay, of course you did. Okay. And I worry about that guy, the doctor who finished last in his class. I really worry about him. And I went to my doctor the other day, and they said he died. I said, what? He's taking care of me. And he died? What do I do now? Go to another one who's on his way to the grave too. See, we know so little. We have so little. I listen to the radio down here, and I'm an old shagger. I'm still better at it than you are, but I'm an old shagger. I'm not better than Dwight. Dwight, where's Dwight? There's Dwight. Dwight, one of the best in the world, sitting over there. And I listened to the radio station out of the hotel over there, and they played old songs, and I listened to them and think of people that I knew and the fun that we had. But every now and then, they'll say, welcome to paradise. And I said, excuse me? The corner of Ocean Boulevard and Main Street is paradise. Boy, did they fool me. I was looking for a little bit more, weren't you? However, that's how man's thinking gets, does it not? He said, who being the brightness of his glory, he's heir of all things, verse 2 says, by whom also he made the world. Skip over to verse 10. Thou, O Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. You see, there never has been a time that there wasn't a Jesus, part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He wasn't known as Jesus till he was born here. Then they gave him the name Jesus. First name he was given was what? Nobody calls him that. Emmanuel, what does that mean? God with you. He told you at the beginning he was God. God just put on flesh in the manger. That wasn't when Jesus was born. Jesus was never born. Jesus has always been God who put on flesh. Bless the Mormon's heart. They won't eat meat on Tuesday or drink on Wednesday or whatever they do, all these rules that they got. Clean, neat, nice, mannerly people when they knock on your door, but totally upside down. They got man becoming God. Don't think so. Don't think so. God put on flesh. God put man. He put on man. So Jesus is the God-man. We don't understand that. He 100% God, 100% man. We don't understand that. I don't understand that, but I believe that. Why? Because of what he did and what he said and what he proved to be. So it says here in verse 3, who, meaning Jesus, being the brightness of his glory, God's glory, and the express image of his person. You want to see a picture of God? God's invisible. God's a spirit. You can't take a picture of God. Take a picture of Jesus and you got him. One day you will see Jesus in heaven because he's got a glorified body. Now, no use to look for God. He's still a spirit. No use to look for the Holy Spirit. Obviously, he's a spirit. But you can look for Jesus and he'll be right there and he'll be looking for you. Isn't that good? I mean, isn't it good to be dumb enough to really believe God loves you as an individual? I sit around sometime and say, why me? I sit around and say 6 billion people walking on earth and 6 billion people buried in it, and you're going to tell me God loves me as an individual? That's a little hard to accept. Because I know me. And out of 12 billion people, I doubt that I would have picked me to be somebody special. And he didn't either. He picked me just like he'll pick you when you go to him. He opens his arms and says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden. Anybody. See, we split things up. Well, yeah, he says he's a Baptist, but he wasn't baptized facing the east. Excuse me. Well, he wasn't baptized in cold water. He was baptized in that fancy First Baptist Church, and their Baptist water is heated. I don't think that counts. What kind of moron are you? And this is the doctrine you get from people who supposedly have biblical knowledge. The Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Anything you add to one is more than one. Bad as I am at math, I understand that. And the Bible says, when I accept Christ as my Savior, repent of my sins, the Holy Spirit of God baptizes me into the family of God. That's the only baptism I need. Because more than one is more than one. Even I can figure that out. Well, then why are you baptized? We are doing that as a symbol of what has been taking place. We are dead and risen again to live in Christ. It's a picture. That's what it is, okay? Who being the brightness of his glory. You read a lot about the glory of God, don't you? Glory means brightness. Glory means light. And the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. What's that mean? That means, you remember in the 50s when they came out with the atomic bomb and atoms, and depending on the level of your biology class, and they had the little whirly gigs going this way and that round. You remember. And what did they call them? What are they, honey? Protons and neutrons. And that's what makes up everything. An atom makes up everything. And I don't understand that, because when you look at one under a microscope, you'll find out there's more space in the atom than there is solid material. How could that be? That means there is more empty space in this desk than there is solid material. And yet, it feels solid to me. I don't understand that. Well, you didn't make it. That's right. That's why I don't understand it. So the scientists began looking at seeing what was wrong, and they said, oh my goodness. What? Said the neutrons and protons are going backwards. And if they go the other way, everything will come apart. I mean, think about it. Everything will come apart. Well, how do they stay together if they're turning wrong? It just told you here. We'll read it to you. The express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. He spoke the universe into existence. And if he quits speaking, it will just dissolve. Thank the Lord, we know that's not going to happen, because he's told us what's going to happen. But get your God right. Get your almighty, almighty. Get your infinite intelligence, infinitely intelligence. Find out who he really is, and you, like me and anybody else who has studied the Bible a while, will stand in awe of him. I mean, you can't help it. The older I get, the more awe I have for God. I mean, the more wonders I see of him. And wonder, surely, and I, whoever wrote How Great Thou Art, sure hit it on the head. How great thou art. My goodness, how great a God we serve. And nobody else has one. They tried to. I see the politicians, as you do. I got to hurry home and try to get a political ad today. I'm scared I might miss one. Sheesh. But all the politicians all of a sudden have turned into theologians. Well, every religion has a right. No, they don't. You have no right to come against the Almighty. You have no permission to come against God, as he says, I am the God. I am Almighty. There is one Lord, not seven. There's one. There is no Allah. There is no God of the Buddhist. And one of the politicians last night said something, the religion of Buddhism. Moron, get a dictionary. Buddhism isn't a religion. Buddhism is a philosophy. You have no idea what you're talking about. But then again, you're talking to people who don't know the difference anyhow, so I guess it doesn't matter. But you get it straight. There's one Lord and one God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And it was God who shed his blood, the Bible said, on Calvary's cross, that you might be saved. Where'd God get the blood? It precisely says that God shed his blood. Where'd he get any blood if he's the Spirit? It's the blood of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that washed away your sins. And you think about that, and I don't worry about it because I'm in the fold. But to think by faith, I can be covered by the blood of Christ, and all my sins are taken away. And Bobby McGinnis, our friend who is dying at his house right now, his favorite Bible verse says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And the semi-theologians say, well, now there'll be a judgment and they'll separate the good from the bad. No, they won't. There'll be two judgments. One will be the Bema judgment. It's 1,000 years before the great throne judgment. And the Bema judgment is to be held to find out what your rewards are since you became a Christian. That's the benefit of teaching little children about Jesus. With this little girl over here, this little boy over here, they'll hand you out a cross in a minute. They don't understand the full meaning of it, but they're learning. Spread the word. They're learning. Tell somebody about the Savior. And when you start that age and you go up and do that, look at what you're piling up. Because this is not fun here. This is a test. What you do for Christ here will determine what you do for him through eternity and your position in his kingdom. This is a trial run. It's not a game. So we have to watch ourselves, and it's not a sad thing. It's a good thing. Every morning I wake up and pray, Lord Jesus, thank you for another day. Thank you, I'm alive, I'm awake. Thank you for my family. They're all right. Be with us today. Keep us from sin today, if you would, please. Help me not sin against you this day. Every day. Every morning. First thing I'm going to do is talk to the Lord. You need to do the same. All day. Every day. Don't you love to see the spring flowers blooming? Aren't they beautiful? These trees coming into... Do you know that's a picture of the resurrection? Amen. That's what spring's all about. God could have kept the flowers out all year if he wanted to. He could have made them frostproof. Right? But they die... And then they come back alive. It's a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's everywhere. Everywhere you look. I was reading a book this week, most interesting. And one of the M.R. DeHaan, who was a wonderful Bible expositor and a preacher, Jack gave me the book. Dick gave me the book. I was reading that thing. And one of the men in it, he said, you can find Jesus Christ on not every book of the Bible, not every book in the New Testament, but on every page in the New and Old Testament, if you will look and know how to look, you will see a shadow or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, man, how could a man do that? How could a man write such a book? Couldn't do that. Would have a computer ever computed? Couldn't do that. Can't do that. Took God to do that. Every page. And the more you read this, the more you get it in you. That's why he said, hide this in your heart so you don't sin against me. Said, I can be sinless? No, but you can sin less. You're still going to sin. But see, if you haven't been baptized into the family of God, you haven't accepted Christ, you aren't under the blood, there's no way for you to understand the Bible. Read 1 Corinthians. It says a man who is lost can't even understand his book. And I get books and they say this was written by an atheistic theologian of the New Testament. You can't be an atheistic theologian of the New Testament because you don't have the ability to understand what it means. It is spiritually discerned. I knew of a man got saved. He thought he was a Christian all his life. He finally really understood what was happening, went home, got his Bible that night and was reading it and called his wife, said, honey, come here a minute. She said, what is it? He said, somebody's messed with my Bible. She said, what do you mean messed with your Bible? He said, it doesn't read like it did last week. There's something different this week. I don't know who's messed with it. No, God messed with your head and your heart. That's what happened to you. Okay. So this morning we come just to, as Jimmy the Barber used to say, he's a friend of mine from the 50s down here, and I loved him. He's home now with the Lord. But he was a lay preacher. He would preach at these little country churches every chance he got and witness to people when he gave them a haircut and a shave. Hard to tell a man no when he's got a razor at your throat. Right? So Jimmy would do that, and a wonderful Christian fellow. And he'd come, and Jimmy's education wasn't on a college level, but he could make himself understood all right. And he'd open up every time and say, I just came to brag on Jesus. I just came to brag on Jesus. And I got to thinking about Jimmy this week. Got to thinking about it. I said, yeah, he is the one to brag on. I see you fooling with that clock. Don't do it again. So we just here this morning to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. We just here this morning to brag on Jesus and to let the world know we have the only God. We have the saving God. We have the creating God. We have the resurrecting God. We have the God who's coming again. We have a God who will set up his physical kingdom on this earth and walk among us one more time. He's already done it once. Why do you think he's going to do it again? See? So we can say, what a God. And how I love him. And we do that unashamedly. In fact, we do it gleefully. So if you don't know this God, the God of the Bible, why don't you get an introduction this morning? Well, preacher, how do I do that? You repent of your sins. You don't have to come up here. You just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I understand I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I want my sins forgiven, and I truly believe. I don't know how it works. I truly believe if I put my faith in you that your shed blood on Calvary's cross will cover my sin and that you took my sin, and now it's on you, not on me. I don't understand that, but this morning I want to put my faith in you and accept you as my Savior. And if you will, let me understand more about the book. Let me understand more about the church. Let me understand more about you. And let me revel in the fact that I have an eternity to spend with the God who made that ocean just by talking about it. What a God. What glory. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is that we came to brag on you. There's not enough time and there's not enough words, and I don't have the vocabulary to express who you are and what you've done and how wonderful you've been just to us. Thank you so much for taking my sin and putting them on you. Thank you so much for taking your righteousness and counting me as righteous, sinner that I am. That God the Father looks at me through the screen, as it were, of you on the cross and said, He looks all right to me. He's covered by the blood of my Son. Thank you for that knowledge. Thank you for that faith. And if there be one here who knows you not or watching on webcam, who knows you not as personal Lord and Savior, that today they'll pray that prayer wherever they are and leave the service as a new person in Christ. Thank you. Keep us safe this week. Be with those who are sick among us and help us to do thy will. In Christ's name I pray. And for his sake, amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner.